This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone from around the world, and thanks for joining us on another great episode of Baseball Outside the Box, the show that brings you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. First of all, I want a special thank you to our producer, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group. Don't forget, go to lineupmediagroup.fm. Listen to some of the great podcasts. There's so many of them. It's the fastest growing podcast anywhere. Remember, the show's free. So if you like, we would only ask you to follow it. If you like the show, share it on Twitter, at Baseball Out, Facebook, Baseball Outside the Box. Share it with as many people as possible, coaches, players, parents, anywhere in the game, so that way we can continue to educate everybody that is in the game, and that helps grow the game better. All right, if you're a new listener, well, don't forget, join us, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Go to iTunes or Stitcher, hit the logos, join us. And you will get an update every time there's a new show. If you're a loyal listener, we would love if you can give us a review. And if you love the show, give us a 5-star rating. That helps the show continue and also be searched a lot quicker. All right. We are excited. As always, we bring you some of the most innovative educators, coaches from around the world with new science. So we're interested today in talking about and discussing the topic specifically geared to hitting, but also we'll try to see if it relates to other areas of the game of baseball and utilizing today's up-to-date technology to help players develop better pitch recognition by testing and training for it. And our special guest, he has spoken at the ABCA. I got a chance to listen to him there. He also was introduced to me by a very good friend, Mike Pinto. Everybody knows him through the interviews with the Southern Illinois Miners. Thank you, Mike, for that. I want to introduce to you Peter Fatty, a PhD professor of learning, design, and technology at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Illinois, co-founder and chief science officer of GameSense Sports. And you can go to GameSense by going to GameSenseSports.com. Again, GameSense Sports, S-C-N-S-E, sports.com. Or you can check out Peter Fatty. That's Peter, F-A-D-D-E.com. And he's also on Twitter, has some great stuff on Twitter. I follow him at Dr. or Dr. Fatty. All right, check him out. The company specializes in making computer apps to train the perceptual side of sports performance, not visual skills like peripheral vision and dynamic tracking acuity, but rather the ability to pick up cues and use them to make faster than possible decision and actions, as you know, like in baseball hitting. And this is going to be a very important and a great topic. So first of all, let me introduce to Peter Fatty, PhD professor, Southern Illinois University. Peter, how you doing?
Hey, Pete, I'm doing great. Hey, I got to put you to work here doing my intros all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm excited. I'm always excited. I love, you know, been in the game over 30 years. I've always been one of these coaches who've, you know, never satisfied with the status quo, never satisfied with, you know, just because you've done it this way last year, the year before, 5 years ago, that means we have to continue to do it that way. And I love when I come up, you know, and with areas that are new in the game that, and I say new, you've done a lot of research. So I just want to thank you for being on the show, and we're ready to rock and roll. So the first thing I want to ask you, which is a common, you know, I think would be the common question, would be to let our listeners around the world know about, first of all, your research and also what your research has come up with and how it's kind of evolved and worked into the system. Because we know that you also work with a lot of major league teams. So kind of give our audience a little startup of how all this has gone.
Well, Pete, I was working as a video coordinator, mostly with football. This was with Purdue University. I was there. And also taking the PhD work on the side, and it came down to doing a dissertation, you know, your major research project. And I just knew that more could be done with putting video and data particularly together. And it actually led me away from football and into baseball. And I discovered this research that really goes back to the early 80s. And a lot of it's out of Australia. So So, of course, they were looking at cricket, all right? You got to bounce the ball and, return and serve in tennis and things like that. And so what they're interested in, this is a whole area under sports psychology that sometimes is called sports expertise research. So they're applying that model, and they would do like this expert novice research. So they get into the laboratory, some people who are expert, in this case at hitting, and some who are skilled, but, you know, not that level. And they try to figure out, okay, what's that expert's advantage? And it really comes down to, in these like ballistic type reactions, like, you know, blocking a soccer shot, you know, penalty shot, or, you know, return of serve again, or, you know, baseball, cricket batting, you know, these things that the experts are able to do. And really seems like they have all the time in the world, but it's within fractions of a second, half of a second, you know, blink of an eye. Now you can't ask them what they do because it's not working that part of the brain. They really can't tell you. But the way that they would get at it was like, okay, everybody knows this is there. I mean, you know, you talk to baseball people. Yeah, guys got great pitch recognition. It's, you know, that we know that, and it's valued as high level hitting. But, you know, how do we get at even measuring it before we even worry about how are we going to train it? And so that's where they developed this video occlusion approach. So this occlusion means cutting it off. So if you Google occlusion training, you get like bands that you put around your arm when you're weight training because it's cutting off the blood flow. So everything else has got to work harder. So occlusion is the notion of cutting it off. So the way they did this technique was they would get video from like a batter's point of view. And then, you know, here's the pitch coming. You got a pitcher winding up and delivering the pitch. And then they cut it to black at various points. Sometimes they give you a third of the ball flight. Sometimes it's cut off right out of hand. Sometimes they're cutting it off before the pitcher's even released it. And they try and see, you know, where are the experts distinctly better than the other people here? You know, so if you see more than about a third of ball flight, then, you know, we're all kind of the same. If you start cutting it off too much before ball flight, we're all kind of the same. But in that window, from right at the release of the pitch to about a third of the way, that's the window of expert advantage. You know, and the closer it gets to the release of the pitch, the greater the advantage. Of course, you know, it gets harder to guess. So, you know, the expert's performance is going down, but the difference between the expert and the novice, that they would call it, is getting bigger. So they look and they say, okay, now we've found where this skill is. Now we've taken this thing that's just considered kind of a, you know, a talent thing that people have. We've found out exactly where it is. So my only new thing with this is to say, okay, if that's the way they can look at this and measure it in the laboratory, then we can repurpose that same method to train it, to improve it. Not just measure it, but if you can any kind of thing, you know, if you can test it, you can train it. So if this is how they're testing it, then I'm saying this is how we train it. So everything after that has fallen out from that one sense of, you know, let's take this thing that they actually do in the sports science laboratory, and then let's turn that into a training tool for people. So that's what the last 20 years has been.
Fantastic. Now, I remember, you know, I'm going back actually 30 years when I first started coaching. I always remember, you know, coaches, you know, without maybe any research, I'm assuming, you know, maybe through some common sense, saying that, you know, you want to try to identify the pitch out of the hand, and you want to, you know, and I heard you talk about this on another podcast, you know, that, and that's why I want to address it, because, you know, whatever happened in the past doesn't mean it's going to work now. You know, and for the hitter to be able to look at the body, you know, and then at release point, look where the release is. And common sense tells us if you can identify it out of the hand, I mean, I would think, yeah, you need to know the pitch. That tells you the pitch speed, the pitch location, and the type of pitch. Is that true? Will you identify all three of those?
Yes. Now, it doesn't necessarily matter that you can say that's a curve or that's a slider. What we're really getting after is that your eyes recognize in that first third, exactly like you said, you're getting trajectory, Part of this, too, is that you've done your proper thinking, Ted Williams called it. So you know the count, you know the pitcher's repertoire, you know what you might see in this situation. You know, if you're trying to choose between four pitches, you're in trouble. If you've reduced it down to where it's either this or it's that, I'm looking for this. If it's that, I'm laying off. Now you're in a great shape because that's all you're trying to recognize out of there. And so, yeah, you pick that up and you start to you start working in that information and picking up that information right as that pitcher is going into his windup or slideshow or whatever he does. And, you know, the higher levels, they get really good at disguising that. But at especially if guys are coming up at lower levels, you know, they're not yet so good at disguising that. And you can see when a guy's muscling up on his fastball, you know, way before the ball comes out.
Or maybe
you're real observant and you realize that he exaggerates picking up his knee when he's throwing a changeup. A lot of young guys will do that. You know, they really want to they really want to give you that fastball look. So all of a sudden their knee's coming up, you know, a couple inches higher than when they're throwing the fastball when they're throwing the changeup. So, you know, some things like that.
Absolutely.
Later on, they get really good at that, at disguising those things. And you're really getting down to where you're having to read that release point. But you know, you can build yourself up to that in the same way the pitchers are building up to that.
Sure. And what, you know, what it's great about it sounds like is, you know, if you do your homework and you have a plan, as you said, a plan, you know, with knowing the count, knowing the type of pitches, and you then have trained the visual aspect of it. Now we're going to get into the training in a little bit, but I want to address something here, that is really basic. It really relates to, but I think it's important to talk about it. It relates to a lot of younger kids, a lot of parents, and when it comes to hitting, because, you know, you always heard all the time, you hear, you know, why did you swing at that pitch? You know, it was over your head. But I want people to understand that, you know, and this is my opinion, so I'm going to get your background on it and your science behind it. You know, my opinion is, well, you know, he didn't try to swing at that pitch. You know, that's not what he was trying to do. He just identified it wrong. Am I going in the wrong direction there?
Well, we're going to go with what our eyes tell us.
Yeah,
I mean that's baseball batting, but that's really everything else in our life. I mean, we're evolutionarily predisposed to really believe what our eyes tell us. So if that batter's eyes tell him that ball's coming in, to his hitting's only swinging. Now if he didn't read it and it's a slider, breaking ball. Now he's swinging at a ball in the dirt. All right, fine. You know that now that picture is in your mind. So here comes another pitch out. And it's coming out kind of high like that last one that, was the curve. And now he's swinging at that. And okay, now he's swinging at that one over his head and everybody's wondering why.
Yeah.
But if you train it, if you feel like you're training that, then, you know, you're getting that sense of, first of all, just confidence and not feeling like you got to jump at the ball so much. You know, just saying this is all a process. I'm reading it. Okay, you know. And like a lot of coaches like to teach, yes, 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 yes. You know, you're not deciding to swing. You're deciding not to swing. So, you know, you're yes, 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 yes. Or, you know, yes, 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 nope. And hold up. So, you know, that's what we're trying to get, especially with the younger ones. They don't need to have mastered the entire skill. Just kind of master that skill, that dance, getting your focus in, you know, and getting a good look at that pitch.
Okay, now with pitch recognition, is there are we evaluating, you know, a training program? Are we doing some type of training program to then now help the hitter?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even in, I've been sitting in minor league clubhouses when they have their roving instructor come by, you know, some Hall of Famer, near Hall of Famer, and they're hanging on every word and they're talking about, you know, this tough matchup or that. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to reading the pitch and getting the good pitch to hit and this sort of thing. But then when the guy leaves, there's that question hanging in the air.
Yeah, how do you
do
it?
Work on that, coach.
That's right.
What do I do today? You know, what can I do to work on that? You know, so people keep telling you got to do it. People keep telling you got to swing at strikes and not at balls. People keep telling you got to pick up the ball out of the pitcher's hand and all, but the question is, how do I work on that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to do. Reduce that to something, and you do it with the computer app. And I've also Like I've got the little ebook that's got videos on it and everything for things to do in the bullpen, the batting cage, things to do with your instructor, things to, you know, that you can do in those situations to also be working on that. So it's not all just a computer thing.
Well, you brought up a good point. Let's start with this. This doesn't start on the on-deck circle. It doesn't start at home plate. This starts in your practice, but it sounds like it starts way before even your practice. Let's explain some of those concepts and maybe a couple training methods that you're talking about.
All right. Well, first of all, we're talking about this method, this video occlusion. Mm-hmm. So what we did, and you mentioned Mike Pinto and the Southern Illinois Miners. Yep. I get out there and we record their pitchers and some of the guys coming in. So this is a top-ranked unaffiliated minor league.
Yep.
A lot of these guys were, you know, Friday starters and in their college programs and the such. They're 23, 24, 25 years old. And they're still pitching in anger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we record these pitches in games. They're not in a bullpen. They're not in a studio or something like that. They're recorded in games. So I got a camera that shoots through the empty left-handed box and a different one that shoots through the empty right-handed batter's box. So if you're looking at the right-handed batter's view, there's actually a left-handed batter up at the same time, but we mask that out so you don't even see it when you're doing the app. But you're seeing pitches that are thrown, you know, in a game by a real pitcher, and then you've got kind of a strike zone grid here, and you've got to press, okay, fastball ball or curveball strike. So you're getting two guesses at within one thing, but you're just pressing it that one time. It could be a computer click, or if you've got an iPad or whatever, you're just touching the screen. So you're saying, and you're just doing it, you know, you're doing it as fast as you can, but it's not like you've got to do it in the same, you know, half of a second that a batter has. You're just, you know, letting your mind work on this. So what we're doing is like a good lift. We've isolated down through all that research and everything. We've isolated down to exactly what part of this you're trying to work. And then we're setting something up, you know, set the conditions of learning, we call it in our area, but
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you can just repeat. And then it's lots of repetition, massive amounts of repetition with immediate feedback and progressive difficulty. And between those three things, that's how you train your eyes to see this. This is how your eyes learn that, hey, that ball coming out high, don't give up on it. If it's coming out high and you read skinny wrist, or maybe even you don't know what it is, but your eyes are telling you that ball's coming out high, you know, going to hit the mascot. But you've now trained yourself. You don't have to think about it. It's automatically coming out there to where there were other cues in there that tell you, no, it's coming down to the zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to get at, to where your mind says, as Tony Gwynn said, My eyes see and my hands know what to do. So whether you call it a curveball or slider or whatever, that's not so important. What we're doing is we're just setting this all up so that you can really train your eyes to not just do what's natural. Yes, we want them to do what's natural. That's what makes you be able to hit in the first place. We also want them to, in addition to that, be able to overcome those times when your eyes give you bad information. You know, that ball is coming out, especially at the lower levels, you know, those guys – curveballs are going to come out pretty high.
Sure.
Really, really, really hard for the young hitter not to give up on that. No matter what they tell them, their eyes say, oh, that one's out, you know, and you're sometimes I call it this part of the brain between your eyes and your brain. Sometimes I'd call it the brilliant brat. You know, you can't get by without it, but it's lazy. And it likes its reward, and as soon as it thinks that ball is gone and not hittable, it turns you off.
Yeah. Well, Peter,
you can't react to it.
I gotta ask you this: if it gives you bad information, how do you make that adjustment?
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give you that way. You can't. It's like any other brat. You know, you can't just tell it what to do. You can't tell that your eyes and your brain, hey, mm-hmm. that's a curveball. Don't give up. You have to do it over and over and over again, and you got to reward it. So you're doing it within the little, you know, this app. It's kind of it's a little reward. So you know, you press curveball strike. There's that one that came out high, but you've retrained your brain. You press curveball strike. It gives you a nice green light up the square. It gives you a little bing. And, you know, points go up on the board, and the brilliant brat loves that.
Sure.
That's how you train it.
Got it.
You set it up so that, okay, here's what we're trying to get you to do. It's not what you do naturally, but we're trying to get you to do this. And so you just keep feeding it, that little reward like that. And after a while, it starts feeling pretty good about, yeah, I can recognize that pitch. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was watching a college game last night. 36 degrees here in the great Midwest. And,
yeah,
you know, here's a guy who's a probable first rounder. And, you know, first pitch comes up, his first time up, there happened to be two guys up. Well, they, you know, pitcher rolled up a curveball there. If he's sitting on this pitch, it's 3-0. But he just lets it go. Okay, strike one. Well, you know, is that a big loss? Maybe,
no.
Maybe not. He ended up grounding into a double play, so you can decide for yourself. Mm. But, you know, that's what we're getting at, is to where you'd actually be able to jump that pitch on a first strike curveball that a guy's just trying to use to get ahead in the count.
Sure. And
now it's getting pretty interesting. You're not talking to youth anymore, you know.
Right, pretty high with that stuff. But that's a guy with a plan, and you know, obviously a higher level where he has a plan. It's 3-0. He knows what he's looking for. He's trying to identify it. Now, once you identify this pitch out of the hand, and if you identify it well, and I get it that you're going to use the app and continue to train yourself because that continuously gets you better and better. So when you get in real game situations, but when you identify it right, that also means that you're going to be able to track it, obviously, much better. Or am I just assuming that?
No, those go right hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually really great that you brought up tracking, because that's where you get like a confusion point. You know, like people will go down in the bullpen and say, well, I have guys go down in the bullpen to track. And or they'll do drills where they put like balls out in front of the plate and you got to say which ball it went over, you know, like seven balls,
right,
and stuff like that. These are tracking drills. Tracking is, you're not going to hit a ball without tracking, but tracking is natural. We don't have to train your eyes to track. Lingering on that pitch, picking that up, recording that little bit of information and then adding it into your tracking. That's what puts you there. So that's where you see if like you almost got to bank it. So you know that ball came out. You don't necessarily know exactly why, but you know it wasn't a fastball release. And mm-hmm. Here it comes in what looks like a fastball tunnel. Well, now you're tracking. You're tracking that as a fastball, but you have that little piece of information you picked up. And so it's, you know, it's way in the back of your mind that might not be the fastball. And if you've got a strong enough mental image, then you're able to, as Dusty Baker said, you know, hit the slider with your imagination. You know, you don't track it.
Yeah.
The science of this is that you lose track of the ball 5 to 7 feet in front of the plate.
Right.
That's not what the guy feels like. He feels like he's watching it in.
Sure.
But there's a great Ted Williams quote. You know, he was in his Science of Hitting. You know, he said people said that Williams could see the bat hit the ball. He said, I didn't see the bat hit the ball. he said, but the master carpenter doesn't need to see the nail to hit it square every time.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Now, also when it comes to the ability to see the ball out of the hand right away, and which means, like you said, you're going to see it most of the way, and this is also going to assume, I don't know if the research shows it, but it's going to help you with with your movements of your body being better than they would be if you didn't track the ball correctly or didn't see the ball.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they talk about the home run revolution and everything. And what I see, just watching that nice overnight replay show that they do on MLB Network,
mm-hmm.
is you see these guys come up, you know, a Trevor Story or whatever, or Bellinger now. And the way these guys are sinking down into their knees to really, you know, get to the bottom part of a curveball, really be able to take a ball that is a foot off of the ground and get themselves in a launch position with their mechanics on that. How did they possibly do that unless they made an early read?
Hmm. Yeah. Folks, we are on Baseball Outside the Box. We're with Peter Fatty, PhD professor in learning design and technology, talking about pitch recognition. This is very, very interesting. Peter, you know, you know, we're going to talk about some of the major league things you've done with pitch recognition with some of the clubs and minor league clubs and so forth. What I wanted to ask, just to give our youth coaches a little bit of feedback here, and I realize it's a process, you know, to work on all this. But now I'm a coach that doesn't have this technology. I'm going to throw one at you a little bit here and just trying to get your opinion a little bit. And I'm out there with young kids and, you know, whether it be in practice or in a game, is there any advice, general advice that you can give to help our coaches a little bit if they didn't have this type of technology? What should they be saying or doing or anything like that that can kind of help them? Because that's one of the toughest things for especially volunteer coaches that are working with young kids. You know, they don't have the time sometimes to spend on all this. Now, I'm going to lead them to your website because I think kids can go there and, you know, and work with you on all that. But I want to see if there's anything that they can kind of, you can give them a general idea what to use.
Yeah, sure. I can do that. And I should also mention that the GameSense app, although I talked about like having the minor league pitchers on it, it's also got youth pitchers on it.
Oh,
so,
super.
You know, guys who are 15, 16, 17, pretty high level, you know, for the kids who are getting to that level.
Absolutely.
But even when you're first starting to go out there and throw the ball to the kid, what you want to enter into that is they're just hitting the ball and you're giving them feedback on their swing and that sort of thing. Just enter in a little bit of things, you know, like say, hey, I only want you to hit middle away now. I only want you to hit middle away.
Mm.
And that you're not giving them any other instruction.
Right.
You ain't telling them exactly what to do. And so, you know, here comes you're just pitching it into the kid, just your standard batting practice. I used to do it with tennis balls after I wore a couple of baseballs. But, you know, you're doing that. And, you know, so the one comes to a little inside and the kid cracks a nice one and you go, yeah, that's a nice hit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't score a point on it. Make it a little game. So you
sure.
get a point if you made the right decision to swing at a middle away pitch. You know, maybe you didn't hit it well you still get a point. You hit it well, okay, now you get 2 points. You know, if you can get
sure.
10 points, you know, we get ice cream on the way home. You know, it's
now there's nothing wrong with saying, you know watch the ball come out of the hand or constantly reminding players of that.
Well, the thing is, if you set up the conditions,
mm-hmm.
if you start to say, hey, just look, you know, just hit the ball this middle of way, they're going to have to start picking that up.
Got it.
So sometimes you tell them to do something and that will lead them to do the thing that you wanted to do. And sometimes that's more effective than to telling them to do the thing because
mm-hmm.
it's really hard because, you know, we'll say sometimes they say the one that a lot of high school players will tell me that they've heard an even higher level is, well, you know, you focus on the insignia on the cap and you do a soft focus on that. And then you switch and hard focus into air as the hand comes through. Okay. You know, it's not clear that people who can do this really well actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard Johnny Bench talking on a Reds telecast, talking about how he used to follow the ball all the way down because a lot of the times the pitchers that have a little stab down at the bottom of their delivery, you know, they'll show you the ball right there. So he would track
mm-hmm.
all the way the ball around. Some coaches would say, don't do that. So for almost anything that you would say, here's the coaching tip on it. There's going to be a, you know, a different one.
Sure.
Well, so, you know, sometimes they talk about this, Pete, as implicit learning.
Sure.
That is, rather than saying, do this, say, produce this result, you know, hit the ball this way. So, you know, now you're starting to say, okay, you know, let's swing at the middle away. And now you're going to get the points if you swing at the middle away and you hit the ball middle away.
Very interesting.
Because that's the classic thing you're going to get to go to. That's a three-pointer.
Sure.
You swung middle away, you hit the ball well, and you hit it middle away. Three-pointer.
Yeah.
You know, you get three of those, and we're halfway to that, you know, we're almost to that cone.
Well, it's very interesting Peter, it's very interesting. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, being in the game 30 years is the complete opposite of what majority of coaches would be teaching in the last, you know, 20-some years, because, you know, the majority of coaches are always trying to let hitters identify the pitch and work and getting it out of the hand. So this is why I want to get to your program, GameSenseSports.com, because now we're talking about training prior to even hitting Because, you know, before they even get on deck, before they even get at home plate, before they even start practice, because they explain how your program works and how young kids can benefit from it, and how professional players are benefiting from it.
Okay, the way it's set up is it's set up in this drill, you know, like it's drill and practice. The kids will say drill and kill, you know. Mm-hmm. Same way you practice your math facts, same way you practice your foreign language vocabulary or something like that. So you've got 10 pitches. You're always going to get 10 pitches. And the basic one, we call it basic training level. Basic level is you see about a third of the ball flight, and then mm-hmm. it's cut to black. Okay, so here's the pitch. I'm coming out here. Third of ball flight, cut to black, and then you've got to press the button for, you know, fastball, ball strike, change up, ball strike, whatever. You're hitting that mm-hmm. one button. And then it flashes on you, and if you're right, it gives you green. If you're wrong, it gives you red, and it shows in green what the answer was supposed to be. So you guessed fastball strike, and the answer was change up ball. Okay, well, there's a card, right?
Yeah.
Then you hit the replay button. We tell kids, or, you know, anybody who's doing it, if you get one wrong, hit the replay button. So when you hit the replay button, what that does is it gives you a little bit wider view. Because on the first one, you're just pretty much looking at the pitcher. This mm-hmm. wider view now, you see the catcher, you see the umpire, you see the plate, you see the whole shape of the pitch. It gives it to you all the way in without being cut off. And so now you're telling your mind, okay, that's what I saw out of the hand. This is what I see at the plate. I will even tell them, go ahead and get that replay two or three times. We're trying to put together out of hand at the plate. Here was the shape of that pitch. So we're trying to put that into mind. And so then you go through and it gives you a score. You get 10 points if you get the location right. You get 10 points if you get, by that I mean ball or strike.
Sure.
You get 10 points if you get the pitch type right. And you get 25 points if you get both of them right. See, because so wow. getting both of them right is what I'm equating to hitting. You actually hit them. You know, so 10, or you get 25 reading. You got 10 pitches, so your max score is 250. If you score enough, like 200 points, mm-hmm. then the computer will tell you, hey, we advise you take another, you choose another drill, which means you beat that one. You don't get any bells.
You go on to the next one.
Okay, you go on to the next one. If you didn't get enough score, it'll say, we suggest you repeat that drill.
Excellent.
But you can do it or not do it. So this is not like a video game where you gotta like get to the next level or whatever. And especially like some of the pro guys who use that, the minor leaguers and all, they'll just start in with like the hardest one. So the easiest is where it's cut off at a third. Then mm-hmm. the harder one, you get about 6 to 8 feet of ball flight. And that's it. Like you were saying, it's just right out of hand, and you've got to pick, you know, your trajectory and everything out of that. And then that's what we call the advanced level. And then there's another level, which is called wicked, where it's cut off right at the hand, right out of hand. And that it's called that for a reason, you know, don't go there until you're ready.
So, yeah. You know. same type of concept, location, pitch count, both right.
So, and then there's like 20 pitchers in there, and mm-hmm. they're all flipped. So you can see this guy as a right-hander. You can see him as a left-hander. You get the right-handed batter's view. If you're a switch hitter, you can choose a left or right-handed batter view of this, because mm-hmm. you're always getting that view from the batter's box. It's not like a catcher's type view, like a video game. Okay.
Right.
This is, you're getting a batter's box type view. And then you choose the pitchers, and they've all got a scouting report. You know, this guy relies on his two-seam fastball, you know, will spin one ahead in the count type of stuff. So guys mm-hmm. are actually also, like for high school-type players, as they're starting to get to that level, this is actually starting to be practice in trusting the scouting report. Now, mm-hmm. you know, because we say that doesn't mean he's going to spin one in every, two-strike count. We're just saying that's the tendency. And so... they practice that, and that's the only extra piece of information. Like this is a Twitter simple approach, and we try and keep it really simple, but we do put the pitch count up there. So you mm-hmm. just glance up at that right before the pitches come. You want to glance over there, and it's going to say it's 1-2. And so just in the back of your mind, okay, what kinds of things am I likely to see from this guy in 1-2? You're not consciously thinking about it, but it's always in there. And the further you go up in ball, as you know, the more important pitch count comes to be, and just just the whole thing.
Absolutely.
He would tell his guys, this whole program we're working on with the computer and then out in the bullpen. He said, you win this if you flip one count a night. If you flip one, this 1-1 pitch, instead of making a bad decision and it goes to 1-2, it goes to 2-1 because you lay off of that chase pitch. You flipped a count.
Yep.
What is going to mean to your batting average down the road? If you flip one count a night, if you turn a single 1-2 count into a 2-1 count, what you might do with that next pitch.
Sure. Now, I've got to ask you this because, as you're talking, man, I'm writing notes, and this could be a 10-hour show. You said location, and then you said ball or strike. Now, how come not location, in and out, or anywhere else?
Well, usually your eyes will tell you enough of the location where you know if it's, down and in, low and away, up and in, The question is it low and away out of the zone or low and away in the zone? So that's why we just, rather than complicate it. There were earlier versions where we had like a 9-cell grid, like 1, 2, 3 across the top, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
Every pitch then it seemed like was coming right on the border. Well, was that a 6 or was that a 9? And so, we settled down on this other one. We're kind of just saying, okay, you can just trust that natural tracking, kind of like what you're saying, the tracking, to give you what quadrant of the zone the pitch is headed for. What we're really interested in is it, off the plate or on the plate.
Well, Peter, what I also love about this, and I got to tell you, we know nowadays kids are on computers all the time. They're on all kinds of apps. Some of them are maybe just a waste of time, because they're just playing games, and maybe some of them may be good. But I love this because, kids can relate to this. One, it's very important, obviously, to identify the pitch. They can relate to it. It's a challenge. So then the next question is going to be, and people that have listened to the show for the last year know that I'm a big believer at developing players at the younger levels, getting started as early as possible, if they're playing the game, if they enjoy the game, obviously, not to force them to do it. But if they're going to do it, I would assume the younger you start at this, the better it's going to help you in the future.
That's certainly true. I mean, I would start it at the level, and this kind of goes with the level of competition that a developing player is at. When, you work it off the pitcher, like everything else in hitting, right? I mean, you're working off the pitcher. So when you get to that point where the pitchers are actually changing speeds on you and they're able to hit some locations and they're able to spin one, head in the count and stuff like that, that's when it's telling you, okay, it's time for you to start working on picking that stuff up.
Yeah.
So, basically your level of play. Now, for some kids that comes at 12 or 13, for other guys more like 14 or 15.
Sure. And you recommend,
that's
a great point, because especially when they start going to a second pitch, because that's when it starts getting really complicated, when they start changing the speeds and locations and all that. Now, will you recommend, a player using the program, in the off season, continue it, during the season at the same time?
Yes. Right. Now, and we're not talking about a big thing. The minor league team that did this in there with their short season teams, they didn't even start it until they were out playing, and their coaches just told them to, do it 3 to 5 minutes a day. These drills that I was telling you about, these 10 pitch drills, they take about a minute and a half to 2 minutes to do one of those. So if you do 3 or 4 of them, you're under, you're in the 5 minute range for the entire day. One of these guys told me that he'd done his whole day's work on his game sense, waiting in line at In-N-Out.
Sure.
So it's not a big load, and we don't want it to be a big load. In fact, I've had to email some of the college coaches and say, hey, you got a guy who's doing this stuff 40, 45 minutes at a time. That's not what it's made for.
Sure.
Okay. Don't binge on it. It's just like weightlifting. So it's just a little thing, because we never want that paralysis by analysis. We don't want you over just. This should just be a light load. You got it on your iPhone, you got it, or you've got it on your computer or whatever, and just 3 to 5 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week, and that's it. You know, that'll keep you in there. Now, right. During the time when you're trying to build the skill, maybe you know, whatever amounts to spring training for you, you might be hitting a little harder. In the season, you might go a little bit, you know, a little bit lighter, unless mm-hmm. you feel like you're not seeing the ball or something like that.
Sure.
But, you know, that's all we're talking about, is little thing on the computer, 3 or 5 minutes, and then put it away, put it out of your mind. Don't worry about trying to do it in the game. Just hit sure. in the game. Just see the ball, hit the ball. No, yep. Don't worry about that stuff. Just yeah. do your work. You do your work. You know, day in, day out, you do your work. It will build. You don't have to worry about it. Your brain will figure it out.
Now, when you're talking about higher levels, you know, you see a lot of minor league or major league players who watch video of pitchers they're going to pitch in that game. They might watch it the day before. Does that help? Is there a combination of working with the program and also the video of that pitcher that you're going to face the next day?
Sure. Now, when you're trying to build up a skill with that, there's actually two things that go there. Because, like, a lot of the college coaches will say, like, oh, you know, we want that guy we're going to face.
Right.
Or even in minor league. And you don't want that. You don't want that. Because what you're doing is you're trying to make a generalizable skill. You know, you're trying to say, I can get a bead on this guy. Between the scouting report and my work on this, I can get a bead on him within a couple of pitches instead of within an at-bat or two. You want them to be able to transfer that skill to whatever pitcher they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the highest levels, you know, at the highest level of ball, now you are preparing for that opponent. And there are several of the major league teams that now my partner calls them fatty cams, that they have fatty cams. That is, they've got cameras permanently installed. And if you're watching the center field camera and you know where to look, you'll see them that are giving you exactly the same shot that we use for this app. That is that one, you know, two cameras, one on each side, shooting through the empty batter's box. You can see that with the Yankees. You can see that with the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that with the Pirates.
Right.
You know, and then, so these are all teams that that have had some dealing with on and off. And I expect there'll come a time when you're going to see that a lot. You kind of got to know to look for it. There's nothing sneaky about it. They can, you know, they can shoot as many cameras as they want. Most of those teams have 8 cameras focused on that pitcher batter matchup.
Sure.
You know, they got a first base, third base, center field, high up. You know, they got all kinds of things on. So it's just another angle
mm-hmm.
that they put in there. But those guys, when they're going to study that film, of course, they've got a library, you know, like obviously the Astros would have a big library on Darvish. Well, does that have something to do with you know, being able to read his pitches so well? Okay, well, maybe he's tipping something. Maybe I don't know. But they are able to study him from a batter's point of view. So, you know, at the very highest levels, they're putting that into action. I'm not saying they do the interactive within the app.
Sure.
They don't need to at that level. They can already do that. But they are able to take a look at that pitcher, not from a center field camera. If you're looking at it from the center field camera, then you can steady it, but you can't really envision what it looks like on the plate. So that's why you need these cameras that are shooting right through the box to kind of give you that idea, again, you know, sure. so that you're seeing it from that point of view. It's not exact. It's not like putting a GoPro on a guy's helmet in the batter's box, but you know, they won't let you do that. So this is
yeah.
the closest we get.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, you never know. Technology's changing, you know, and the game's starting to evolve and start to do different things. And now, I want to ask you this question from the standpoint of the program and also the drills. You know, that there's some drills that you mentioned earlier that some players do. And I think you also might have mentioned it on a podcast, you know, about putting numbers on balls or whatever visual drills coaches do in their practices. Do those work hand in hand with the program, or are we wasting time trying to do visual drills in practice?
Well, I tell you, Pete, I saw it like just yesterday. You mentioned the Twitter, and I just try and post every time I see something online that's a story about a hitter who's making it or not making it because of this aspect, because of this pitch mm-hmm. recognition. I'll post that up there. So this was just yesterday. This is a former all-star catcher a little later in his career. And it was about how he was working with his hitting coach, who's considered one of the guru hitting coaches in the major leagues. and you know, on pitch recognition, because they felt like his pitch recognition had slid a little bit from the year before,
and that's where,
know,
I got
needed
it
needed to be a little bit better. You know, he's starting to slow down a little bit with his reactions. That happens, you know. So now you got to get a little bit. You got to be making a little earlier read because your swing's not happening quite as fast. You know. And so, yeah, they're out there putting figures. It said figures on the ball, you know. And so they've done this with tennis balls and batting practice, and you put numbers on them, or you put triangles and squares, and they're different. And it's like, really, coach? You know, that's what we've got. And then, you know, they would move the pitching machine up so that it was like
faster.
Feet,
sure.
So it seems like it's 120 miles an hour. And say, okay. So, you know, I'm going to lay one on you here, Pete. And this is, you know, this is a bend your knees now because it's a heavy concept coming down. If you want to improve your pitch recognition, the best way to do it is to practice recognizing pitches.
Yeah.
Okay, you bent down under that one yet?
And
that seems obvious, and yet these colored balls, and we've got VR, and we've got, there's a lot of things in this space now trying to get after this particular skill. And I'm not saying they're a waste of time. Anything that sharpens up your eyes, anything that makes you focus on the release, anything like that is good, but it's not it.
Right.
It's not it. You know, if it is pitch recognition, then let's be recognizing pitches.
Yeah.
Whether that's standing in the bullpen and calling those, which Mike Schmidt called the one and only true pitch recognition drill. You know, if we're doing it with the app, we're working on this thing. You know, if you want to be practicing your pitch recognition, set something up where you can see a lot of pitches. If you can do it when it's not just in a game, people would say, oh, well, that's what you do in the game. No,
sure.
You don't practice in the game. You just want to let it go and perform in the game. You don't want to be thinking about that.
Yeah,
so,
Peter, what I love about it is you got me really thinking a lot, and that's what I love about the show, is the type of people I want on the show. People are going to make you think constantly. The first thing that came to my mind when you talked about that was, well, if we're trying to get the ball out of the hand right away, that sounds like the wicket, you know, program to get to that level eventually. You know, seeing a number, you're not going to be able to see that number till, you know, after the fact down the line. So why put a number on a ball anyways? And that's not what you're trying to focus on, is the number. You're trying to get it out of the hand. So I mean, that opens up my mind in that. And I understand. And that's why I asked the question, because we also don't want to waste time doing drills, but if they can help a little bit, great. If not, don't waste time doing them. And, you know, here's the $1 million question, which I'm sure you've gotten many times. You've done the program. What have been the results? Who with? And, you know, why did you get the results? Because of all the research you've done?
Well, you can look on the website, the peterfatty.com. So that's my academic website. So it's got peer-reviewed articles. So, you know, people throw a lot of stuff out there being evidence. And it gets really hard for people to know what to believe or not believe. But let me tell you what, the peer review process is brutal. You send in your stuff and your peers pick that stuff apart. So if you've got something in there that's representing peer-reviewed results on that, you can. So I've got one study that was actually multi-year where we were working with the it's the SEMO team, the Southeast Missouri. They're close down to my university in Carbondale, Southern Illinois. And working with a young hitting coach down there, Dylan Lawson, and he's now with the Astros. And the head coach down there, Steve Beezer, and he's now head coach in the SEC at Mizzou. And, you know, so we really did a thorough study of that and found that doing the work with, this is doing the work with the app, but also out in the pen. Also, it's a point of emphasis by the coaches. All of that is working together.
Sure.
That it really rose their team offense output a lot. In fact, the 2 years we were working on it, those 2 years together, they led all of D1 in runs per game. So it's boosting that up. It's boosting their on base and their slugging as a whole. And then individually, we also had some nice reports. You can't do the same sort of statistical analysis on individuals because there's just too much that can come in. The guy's got a bent thumb he's not telling people about, or he's breaking up with his girlfriend, or who knows what. You know, there's just all kinds of things that can can come into that. So it's not reliable for statistical analysis on any sure. one guy. The team's going up, but we had a guy, like we had a guy who was, he was a nice prospect on their team. He'd had a good, but he wasn't drafted after his junior year. You know, he'd gone up and done Northwoods, but he worked on this in the off season. He hit five more home runs his senior year, and actually hit five more home runs all off of breaking balls. So, you know, he was a guy who was a dangerous hitter, and sure. He was getting to where he could jump that breaking ball, and he ended up being a 10th round pick with the Braves. So we like to see two things. One, you can raise all the boats. You know, you can make the team offense output greater. But you also have something, this is especially for like youth coaches and the such. Sometimes the one guy who gets overlooked in practices is your best guy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you're trying to bring everybody else along. And you know, yep. what do you have to give to this guy?
Good point.
And here's something that you can. Because here's a guy who might be succeeding, you know, nicely at the current level. He doesn't need this yet, but he will. Mm-hmm. So if you can work this into a program with him, you're working it with your other guys. That's one of the things we see. Is it something that can take the guy who is good that extra level up? Now he might not run into that until your playoffs, when all of a sudden he's facing another guy who's a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who it might be an entire another level after he's not in your program anymore. You don't, but you're preparing him for next level.
Okay, and now the other thing I wanted to ask, and we got about five more minutes, and with the last question, this is not the last question, but with the last question, what I normally allow all our guests to do is, because, you know, there's going to be something that we missed, especially, you know, I didn't get to, and maybe you didn't get a chance to address. So at the end, I'll have you address, you know, our coaches, players, and parents from all over the world and in the U.S., address anything you like about the program, about any advice you want to give them. But before we do that, this type of program and this type of training, this could relate to other skills. And what I mean by that is it could relate to balls being hit off a bat and trying to read a ball off the bat. Or maybe, you know, we have a lot of young kids or young players who, when they're playing even catch or getting a relay throw, they misidentify where the ball is at right away. And I would think that's as equal as pitch recognition, because I'm recognizing out of the hand where it's going to go. So is this program going to help that in the future?
Sure, it can. Anything where we look and anticipation and early read is an important part of it, this could potentially be something that can help out with that. So we're talking about infielders or outfielders reading the ball off the bat. You know, maybe a first baseman being able to, because sometimes that third baseman will throw a pretty wicked slider too.
Yeah,
you know, what's
that's
gonna be
right.
In the dirt. So if yep. he can get an early read about whether that's going to be a short hop or a long hop in the dirt, that ball, you know, that's going to help him a lot. He's got to turn his glove differently. And of course, lead off of first base. Mm. You know, extremely important to get an early read on that pitcher's move and be able to make an early judgment. You know, they talk all the time about great base runners. You know, it's not necessarily that they're faster, but they've got that anticipation. Well, what is anticipation? Anticipation is making an early read off of what your opponent's doing. That's anticipation.
Sure.
So yeah, all of those are potentials to train within that. Batting is obviously the one that we focus on, because that's where everything starts. You know, that's every play in the game. But yeah,
sure.
Those are great ideas, and we definitely want to grow into those areas as well.
Now, Peter, do you believe that if, you know, and again, this might not be, there may not be any research behind this, maybe your belief through all the expertise you've had and all the, you know, the testing. I mean, do you believe that if players do this now, you know, we know it's obviously going to help their hitting because of the recognition, but do you think it'll help these other things, or is there going to have to be a different program developed for the other skills or for the other areas that we're talking about?
Yeah, it would have to be a different program, or, you know, at least different video. You're still looking
right.
at video. It's still cut off to black, and you got to guess what's happening. That's
super.
Basically going to be the design of anything we do. But what that video is, yeah, you know, it could be the leadoffs. Could be, you know, you're reading pitcher's moves. But we're going to have to shoot that from, again, pretty much a runner's point of view. So you're getting an authentic view on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to, you know, be cutting things off and trying to train your brain to read those earlier.
Super. Love it. I hope you do that, because I think it's going to help the overall development of the game. And lastly, this is your time. You know, anything you want to mention about the program, again, like I said, program or any advice you want to give our parents, players, and coaches around the world, go for it, and then we will finish up there.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, you know, it ties to the product, and so, you know, you don't want to be out there, like, plugging your product, but the point is that this research has been around since the early 1980s. So, you know, why hasn't this been connected before? And when people see the app, it's like I say, it's Twitter simple. They say, oh, well, gosh, that's almost too simple to be, you know, as tied in as it is. But if you show it to ball players and coaches, they go, oh, yeah, you know, that just ties in with our regular thing. I don't want disruptive technology. That's not what I'm about. Mm-hmm. We're about where it integrates it, where it works into your daily routine. And that's where you're going to make the growth. So like anything else that we do in baseball, you're going to make the growth, not with some big spectacular thing. You're going to make it with a little thing day in, day out, part of your routine. So that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to take something that, you remember that minor league clubhouse, there was that sign up in the air, you know, how do I work on that, coach? We're just giving that ball player a way to do a little bit of work day in, day out, that can help build a skill that a lot of other people, including, we were just talking about it, at the very highest levels, don't really have that much of an idea of how to do. You can get a jump on them. You know, we're saying, here's a way of just day in, day out, practicing in a light load kind of way, something that is associated with the very highest levels of skill. And you start making that part of your routine. And, you know, as far as you go in baseball, and the further you go, the more and more important that's going to be. And guys are going to, no matter how good you are, you're going to run into a pitcher who's better, you know, who's able to fool you with things. If you start working on it then, if you start worrying about it then, you're in trouble. If you've been building up towards that and you have the confidence, you have the plan, then you're in great shape. So that's what we're trying to give people to do. This is not for people who are just like putting their toe in the water in baseball. This is for guys of whatever age have decided they want to pursue this as far as they possibly can. And so it's a way of working on that next level, even while you're not there yet.
Yeah,
that takes a lot of vision. That takes a lot of drive for a player. That takes a parent. That takes a coach who's saying, you know, you're working on something that, you know, you may be able to see the guys you're going to see this weekend. You can hit those guys all fine. You're just working day in and day out, building this so that when you need it, it's there. Now you got a guy who's in a showcase. All of a sudden, everybody's got eyes on this pitcher who's got this great stuff, you know, and you go 3-for on him, and now the eyes are on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing we're trying to build toward. Just
fantastic.
Give them those tools.
Fantastic. Peter, that was outstanding. Folks, if you didn't take a lot of notes, you were not listening well, because I've got a couple, at least 2-3 pages of notes that I wrote during this talk. As we tell you all the time, we bring you some of the best people in the game of baseball, some of the most, you know, scientific-based, research-based, people that do not worry about what the status quo is, want to get better all the time. Peter, cannot thank you. This has been a great show. I want to thank you for being on the show, and hopefully we will get a chance to see you in the future.
Well, thanks very much, Pete. I definitely look forward to that.
We do too.
A little ball around the cage.
Exactly. We're not that far apart, so hopefully we'll get a chance to run into each other. Folks, that concludes the show. Don't forget, this is Pete Caliendo at Baseball Outside the Box, and what you want to do first is check out Peter Faddy's websites. First of all, GameSenseSports.com. Get the program started. You will improve your hitting, but you got to stay with it. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous. If you heard Peter talk, you know, it's a process. You got to keep working at it. Don't do it all in one day. It's every day a little bit. Also, go to PeterFaddy.com. There's research there. This is a private website. And don't forget to check him out on Twitter at DrFaddy, F-A-D-D-E. So that's Dr. DrFaddy. He has some great stuff. I follow him on Twitter. And to all our loyal listeners out there, thanks for being life learners by listening to the show that educates others in the game. Follow us on Twitter. We also have some great stuff on there. We follow others at Baseball Out. Our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com, Facebook, Baseball Outside the Box. And don't forget my email, info@baseballoutsidethebox. Email me any questions. Love to hear from you. I'll get back to you right away. Special thanks to Brian Kroc, our producer with the Lineup Media Group, and also our special guest, Professor Peter Faddy. Thank you for being on the show. And remember, coaches education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that love to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and I'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.